First case for argument is Martinez-Camargo versus the INS. Mr. Halligan, you're going to be arguing for the appellant. I just want to make sure that Ms. Arnold is online. Can you hear us, Ms. Arnold?
Yes, I can.
Are you aware who constitutes the panel?
Yes, the
all right. Very good. And you can hear us all right? I'm not sure we can hear you so well, but that's fine. Okay, thank you. Mr. Halligan.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is James Halligan. I'm representing the petitioner herein. We are requesting this court review a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals denying a motion to suppress that Mr. Martinez-Camargo presented to the Immigration Service. Specifically, we are arguing that the Immigration Service failed to follow its own regulations in arresting Mr. Martinez-Camargo.
Let's assume that happened. Well, what's the remedy?
Your Honor, I believe that the evidence that was obtained should be suppressed. The reason for this is under the Board's own decision, Matter of Garcia, that the immigration judge should look at what the two-pronged test. The regulations, the first prong of the test is requesting whether there was a right that was reserved to the alien, a regulation that was a benefit to the alien. Clearly here there is a benefit to the alien. There's a secondary review, even though it's minimal, before an alien is taken into custody. The second prong of that test is whether there was an interest of the alien that was violated by the
counsel,
failure.
What do two-pronged board tests have to do with this? You're asking us to set aside the decision of the board.
Yes.
And presumably we need legal grounds for setting aside the decision of the board. And the thing that worries me particularly is the holding of the United States Supreme Court in the United States against Cacheras that suppression of evidence is not an appropriate remedy for violation of an administrative regulation.
But I believe there is an exception to that where it is an egregious violation.
There's no exception to Cacheras. You're thinking of a different case. That's the case of Lopez Mendoza.
Yes.
Where you say an egregious constitutional violation may be an exception. But you're not relying on an egregious constitutional violation. You're relying on a supposed violation of a regulation. And there is a direct holding of the Supreme Court in Cacheras, which your brief doesn't cite, holding of the Supreme Court nonetheless, that exclusion of evidence is not a proper remedy for a violation of an administrative regulation, period. Even in a criminal case, it's not a proper remedy. So my question is the same as the Chief Judge's. Where do we go from there? What's left?
Well, Your Honor, I believe in this instance, the regulation is designed to protect a right, that the due process rights are substantial, that the Immigration Service has basically ignored the regulations. That
was exactly the claim in Cacheras, that the Internal Revenue Service ignored the regulation.
But under a matter of Lopez, I believe under Lopez Mendez, there is still an exception that can be argued that if it's an egregious violation, that if...
Of the Constitution, but you're not arguing an egregious violation of the Constitution. You're arguing a violation of a regulation.
But we're arguing that violation of the regulation violates the due process rights guaranteed in the Constitution.
There are pretty well-established doctrines that it does not violate the Constitution to violate a regulation.
But in this instance, the Immigration Service was acting beyond their authority, and they're completely ignoring their own regulations, completely... arresting someone or taking them into custody without an articulable reason, without following their own regulations, without giving any of the due process rights that the individual is entitled to. Mr. Martinez.
Well, what would you say is the reasoning behind the regulation, Mr. Housen?
I believe the regulation is to provide at least a minimum review before the detention, that at least a second officer would be available to decide if the first officer was correct, that in the heat of an arrest there may be more emotions would cloud the judgment that the second officer at least would have a secondary position to look and see, is there a reasonable cause?
In your view, could that be a second INS officer who was on the scene?
Absolutely.
So this is sort of a doubling up situation, sort of to ensure credibility in the event of a subsequent hearing? Is that, you think, the thrust of the
record? I believe that's part of it, is to have credibility plus to also to have the slight review of the arresting procedure for when before going into it.
Well, we don't really have that heat of passion kind of arrest here, do we?
But we do have a second officer who was clearly on the scene and was available the whole time, who had no role in it. That in the record clearly indicates the second INS officer was available. It just was the first arresting officer just did not follow the regulations whatsoever. He did testify he knew the regulations, and simply just there's no explanation as to why the regulations never were followed. The officer, in fact, the record indicates that the second INS officer was even at the police station at the time of the interrogation. But yet, there's no explanation ever offered throughout any part of the proceeding as to why.
Well, of course, the initial stop is not by a federal agent; it's by local police.
Right. The local police originally stopped, and then called for backup, and the Immigration Service officer came with the backup.
So, sir, custody seemed to have arrived, if you will, actually before the INS officer is on the scene. Then.
Well, that's unclear. The record indicates a very minor scene where they were watching someone change oil in a car. It's unclear if there was a detention at that point. It is clear backup came in. Then Mr. Martinez Camargo did respond to questions. It's also clear there was many officers involved at that point. That is unclear as to why the immigration officer was involved. One point it says he was translating, other points says the Summit police were capable of speaking Spanish, so that's unclear. What is very clear is that the officer did clearly know the regulations. I mean, he did testify he'd been through training, he'd been an experienced officer, that he didn't think this applied in this case. Without explaining why. The record also shows that Mr. Martinez Camargo was extremely intimidated. I mean, his affidavit and testimony both showed that he was surrounded by police, he was surrounded with, all of them were armed. He really had no police record, had never done anything that would cause a police record, that he was not the type that was accustomed to this. That I think if you look at the total circumstances, it was extremely coercive to him.
Well, was that created by the presence of the INS officer or by the number of local law enforcement officers that really affected the first stop?
My guess would be both, a combination of the number of people.
You want to reserve?
I will reserve my time.
All right. Ms. Arnold? How would he establish that, Ms. Arnold?
So it's the government's position that he was that the exclusionary rule possibly come into play. And the Supreme Court eventually gave an example of the types of egregious situations that might allow for exclusion of the evidence. For example, they cited Morosi versus California, a case involving forced injection of a medical lesion into a suspect's stomach for purposes of extracting drugs. And other board decisions which dealt with such basically the nighttime warrant of entry into private residences and abusive and repeated refusals to respond to an agent's request for counsel, and situations where the officer's conduct was so egregious as to allow the suppression of the evidence. Even assuming Mr. Camargo's version of the facts here, there's no question, but that at the end of the day, what occurred here was a peaceful arrest and post-arrest processing of an alien who had already been stopped in the context of an independent criminal investigation. There's certainly no evidence to suggest that any type of intimidation or coercion or physical abuse takes place, even assuming his version of the facts, which were rejected by the immigration judge as being incredible. As such, the government's position that there is no Fourth Amendment violation laid out in the facts of this case, much less an egregious one. Absent evidence indicating that the board's determination of suppression was unwarranted is wholly supported by the evidence and must be affirmed on appeal. So at the end of the day, the government would ask the court to affirm the board's decision on both of the issues and dismiss the Camargo's petition for appeal.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Mr. Halligan?
Your Honor, I believe, I do agree with the government that it was a very peaceful arrest, and I think that also goes to exactly the issue at hand. If it was a peaceful arrest, there's no reason not to follow the procedures. The procedures, I do think, are a constitutional right to the due process, to be freedom to follow the process. The Immigration Service did not have any reason not to follow their own procedure, the procedure they themselves put in place with their regulations. And I believe that that failure under these circumstances is what the Board of Immigration Service is referring to when they say that if it's a right guaranteed by the Constitution, that the prejudice to the respondent or the applicant will be presumed. And I think herein the prejudice should be presumed because of the failure to follow the regulations, the failure to proceed with the arrest, had no reason to be out of line. I would therefore ask that this case be remanded to the board to consider the fact that it was a violation of due process rights.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Halligan. Thank you, Ms. Arnold. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.
Thank you.